1.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday from 6 to 7 right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, and my good friend and partner on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. And we're also delighted to have with us Frank Briscoe, who preaches for the church in Santo, who runs our board and helps us with information along the way. Tonight we're talking about the conspiracy behind the silencing of God. We've been talking about this for the last several weeks. And I want to remind you in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10 that it says, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them that knew not Jehovah nor the work which he had wrought for Israel." Looking at the daily newspapers is just like reading from the book of Judges. There is a generation now that does not know the Lord. And this passage in Judges 2 and verse 10 describes, sadly, very aptly, the United States of America. We're living, I'm sad to say, in an anything-goes society. And what we're seeing is the dismantling of the United States of America, its Christian heritage, right before our very eyes. This has been taking place for the last 75 years, for some four generations now. America was once considered a Christian nation, but I believe that it no longer can be considered that as we're now living in the United States. We're going to talk more about this tonight, and we hope you'll chime in. But before we do, we're going to ask David to remind our listeners where we're airing from tonight.
Well, thank you, Tom. For all the listeners out there, we are broadcasting from KATX 97.7 FM in Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford Canyon and Amarillo, Texas, KWBY 98.5 FM right here in Stephenville, KDAV AM 1590 out of Lubbock, and KVOP AM 1090 out of Plainview. And just recently we have added KOME 95.3 out of Glen Rose. All of these are simulcast, and you can tune into any one of them in any one of those areas. Also, we are broadcasting on the gospelradionetwork.org, and that's the way that you can get there. You can get there on several different ways, gospelradionetwork.org, or you can just simply Google harrisonmoore.org, click on the microphone, and you'll be there. This program tonight is going to be rebroadcast at 6 a.m. Tuesday on this website. Now, our motto here has always been, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. This is a live call-in program, and we welcome your call, and we welcome your questions and your comments. And the number is a toll-free number, and write this down, please, 855-QA-BIBLE. Just spell it out, 855-QA-BIBLE. Q is in questions, A is in answers, B-I-B-L-E. It's a toll-free number. We'll pick up the tab. We'd love to hear your comments, your questions. You can also email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org, and that will go to my personal email and also to Tom's personal email, and we will get you an answer to your questions. We'll get you a Bible answer. When you get on the gospelradionetwork.org, there is a chat room in there that you can log on. You put in your name there and just log in, and you can get on the chat room, and you can communicate with us there as well. But we'd rather have you pick up the phone and call us. And that number again, 855-QA-Bible. You can also pick this up on your smartphone. If you got a smartphone, just Google harrisonmoore.org and it'll come up on your smartphone. You can listen to it while you're walking down the road. And so these are just some of the ways. We are broadcasting also on Periscope. And Tom, why don't you tell them about all those other goodies that we got going for us?
Well, you can watch us live on Periscope, and if you would like to get a ring or a designation when we come on, you can search Tom Moore at Poppy Tutor. You can follow that, and you will also always be told when we're doing anything on Periscope. There's also, you can follow us on Twitter, hashtag Ask Harrison Moore. You can ask us questions through that means anytime you'd like to. And so these are some other ways that you can be involved in the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible. We also have a Facebook page, and so you might want to check us out on Facebook page as well.
Well, Tom, we are. This is week number three. We've been talking about the conspiracy behind the silencing of God, and we have pointed out many of the problems that are associated with this conspiracy, and we're going to give the solutions tonight. We started with some of the solutions last week. We're going to briefly review some of these things that shows that we are presently in an all-out casualty-filled spiritual war, and the central issue of the war is God in the Bible. And, Tom, the social and political liberals from Hollywood and many in our nation's capital, they're hostile toward God. They're very open about it. And we are facing some very, very perilous times. This conspiracy to silence God, Tom, it parades itself under the guise of the Founding Fathers and the Constitution, which a lot of people claim advocates the separation of church and state.
Exactly. You know, David, they're claiming that this means that all references to God and Christianity should not be permitted in public settings that are associated with the government or the community or our schools. And there are presently decisions being made in our government and in our courts with this philosophical mindset. You know, where now we have where you're not supposed to be praying at schools, or, you know, used to, you would always pray at the football games. Mm-hmm. Now they have a moment of silence, and they're using the idea of the separation of church and state. They're trying to separate, take out the Ten Commandments from all of our government buildings, and they're taking, trying to remove all kind of religious symbols from our state seals. And David, we're living in a society where our nation is saying no to Bible, but saying yes to immoral causes like homosexuals and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. They are striving with all their might to silence God under the guise of separation of church and state.
Well, this battle is being drawn, and on one side of the fence you got Satan, and on the other side of the fence you've got God. And we've got to take a position here. We're either going to be on God's side or Satan's side. You can't straddle the fence. Right. If you straddle the fence, you're on Satan's side already. Mm-hmm. And so when we are being told, and we've been told for generations now, that the Constitution enjoins the separation of church and state. And that's not true, Tom. And the Founding Fathers desired the acceptance of all religions, pluralism. And friend, and Tom, that's not true either.
We were being told these things. You know, we're being told that the Founding Fathers were deist and not Christian, but mm-hmm. that's a lie. Mm-hmm. And David, we're being told that the Founding Fathers opposed public expression of Christian religion in government and in our schools. This is a lie.
Well, now, you know, there was a fella by the name of Adolf Hitler, and most of you that are listening to this program tonight pretty well understand Adolf Hitler. He's a big character in history in our day and time, and he had this quote. He said, "By means of shrewd lies unremittingly repeated, it is possible to make people believe that heaven is hell and hell is heaven. The greater the lie, the more readily it is believed."
Exactly.
And this is a very true statement.
That's true in regard to the separation of church and state. And David, this same thing is also going to be true with our next series of lessons on evolution and our relationship to God. People have been told lies after lies for years and years, and people just all of a sudden believe this to be the truth. And that the same is true with regard to the separation of church and state. People have been hearing that all their lives, and they believe that this is taught. But the fact is, the separation of church and state is not found in the Constitution or anything that is akin to it.
And that comes as a surprise to many of you folks out there that are listening to this radio program. You've been told this for so long that you honestly believe that there is such a thing as separation of church and state in the Constitution, and there's nothing in there like that. As a matter of fact, our founding fathers wrote and spoke often about God and religion, and if we read what they said and not what people said that they said, this is going to become very apparent to us all.
And that's the key, to read what they said and not what people said they said. Mm-hmm. Now, David, should that not also be the philosophy we take when it comes to religious things?
Absolutely. And that's the reason we have a motto that we have. You've heard what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. Don't listen to what men have to say what the Bible said. Let's just read what the Bible has to say, and let's get it straight from God himself. After all, we are going to choose sides here. We're either going to be on Satan's side or God's side. Let's get on God's side and find out what is going to be our direction here.
Exactly. Now, David, tonight we could spend hours quoting from our founding fathers, their inaugural speeches and quotes and things of that nature. We don't have the time for that, but in time after time, they quoted the Bible. As a matter of fact, George Washington, one of our founding fathers, says that if you separate the church from the state, you will have national problems. Now, what is the world today trying to push? Separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
George Washington said, if you have separation of church and state, then you're going to have national problems. And David, when we look around our nation today, do we not see now problem after problem raising its ugly head because they are trying to separate church from the state?
Well, and that's very true. I mean, even down to what has become a big central issue in every political speech that you hear, racism. Black Lives Matter and racism and such as that. Well, you know, this has nothing to do with whites having a hatred for blacks or blacks having a hatred for whites. It has everything to do with throwing God's moral system out the window and claiming racism.
Exactly. Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about the conspiracy behind the silencing of God, and we declare and have proof on our side that there is nothing even akin to that in the Constitution, and neither did our founding fathers believe that there should be a separation of church and state. As a matter of fact, our founding father said, when you have that mentality, there's going to be national problems. What we need to realize, listeners, is that our nation was founded on Christian principles, not Judaism, not Islam, but on Christian principles. And one of the sad things, David, and we've talked about this in the past, is that our president is now, and sadly, many of our politicians, our senators are going along with it. they're allowing these Islamic people, refugees, to come into our country, and what they're going to do is destroy our Christian principles.
Well, and it's just a matter of understanding what the Islamic religion is about and what Christianity is about. Mm-hmm. Islamic religion cannot exist without destroying every other religion around it.
That's what the Quran says.
That is what the Quran says. If you're going to be a faithful Muslim, you got to destroy every religion around you except for Islam. And those who refuse to bow down to Islam, you just destroy them too. And so we've got a series of problems in this country right now that are because we have forgotten God for the last 4, 5, 6 generations here, and we have raised up that many generations that know not God, and right now we are looking at something that might makes right instead of God's way is right.
And everything behind this and the silencing of God is the silencing of God is what they say is the separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to shut the mouth of Christianity. You know, the Bill of Rights in the First Amendment says, Congress shall make no new law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or the press, of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. David, the Bill of Rights is directly opposed to this idea of separation of church and state. And we're living in a society, David, where they are trying now, our government, sadly, in many cases, prohibiting the free exercise of religion. Prayer in public schools, praying at the football game, that they say is separation of church and state. You can't do it.
Well, and we're going to take it one step further. And before this program is over tonight, we're going to get into this evolution thing. But we have state mandated, even from our federal government, that mandates that every school in the United States of America that receives public funds is going to have to teach evolution. Now, used to, it was a theory that they were trying to teach, and now they don't teach it as a theory. They teach it as a matter of fact.
And prohibit what?
Prohibit the counterbalance to come along and teach the creation part of it. And what I think that we're going to do by introducing this next segment, after we come up here with the solution for all of these problems that we've been giving you, we don't want to give you a bunch of problems and not a solution. But when we look at the evolution, what we're going to see is from a very early age in our child's mind, we have established doubt in these children's mind, and especially if you got 4 or 5 generations of these children that have not been exposed to God, nor the Word of God, nor the power of His salvation. And so we have evolution being thrown at our children and ridicule thrown at them if they don't believe it.
Exactly. You know, they tell you all the smart people believe it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that kind of gets back to what Adolf Hitler said right a while ago, right?
Absolutely.
You keep telling lies long enough, people are going to start believing it.
Absolutely.
Well, David, we got to have a solution to this problem. We are in a deep, deep trouble in our nation because of our government and many who are following their viewpoints of the silencing of God because they believe there should be a separation of church and state. Well, the solution is, number one, we have to be involved in self-examination and serious, serious rededication to God. You know, one of our problems is, David, is that we allow culture and Hollywood and what everybody else is doing to influence us as opposed to allowing God through His Word to influence us.
Well, you know, and maybe we should back up just a little bit, Tom. You know, we're talking about rededication, assuming that one time all of these people were dedicated to God. Mm-hmm. But we're looking at 3, 4, 5 generations of people that have never been exposed to God nor His Word. Maybe it is a dedication and its inception that we need to work on instead of a rededication.
That's true. And also in connection with that, we have a lot of people who aren't taking this problem serious enough. And maybe they need to be rededicated. So we've got some people who need to be dedicated to God, and we've got some people who need to be rededicated to God. But it all starts, doesn't it, with self-examination.
Yes, it does.
And looking for the right thing to influence you, not culture, not the evils around us. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We're never going to get this nation going the right way until we, as a individual and as a nation, seek God first.
Right. And as we mentioned just a moment ago, this is an all-out war. It is an all-out conflict. God's on one side of the fence. Satan's on the other side of the fence. On the side of God, you have righteousness, you have honesty, you have truth. On the side of Satan, you've got sin, you've got sorrow, you've got lies, you've got deception. Now, you're going to have to pick a side. Righteousness of God. That word righteous is a good word. It is that which is right according to God. But if you don't know what is right according to God, it's hard to be on his side.
Exactly right. And so not only do we need to be involved in self-examination and serious dedication or rededication, depending on your scenario, but also, David, one of our ways that we're really lacking in our world today and bringing about the silencing of God is that we're not diligent in bringing our families up in the right way. We need to be diligent to dedicate ourselves to family and raising them up in God's way and not in some humanistic fashion.
Well, you know, we can start and we can change this thing in one generation. In one generation, and all in the world we would have to do is look at God's righteous instructions for the family that were instituted in Genesis chapter 2, brought all the way through the Old Testament, brought into the New Testament. Jesus Christ mentions it beginning in the Sermon on the Mount. He continues throughout his ministry there and talks about the importance of family from the very beginning. And we got to have a husband, we've got to have a wife, we've got to have a man, we've got to have a woman, we've got to have those individuals, the man as the head of the household, raising that family. And we can change this in one generation if we can just get people to focus on that which is right according to God.
Exactly right. You know, we read a moment ago, Judges 2 and verse 16, that there arose another generation that knew not the Lord. And then we mentioned that this has been gone for about four generations. I can't help but be reminded of what Paul said to the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, or verse 13, where it says, "But evil men and impostors shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." David, if we keep going like we're going and have been going for the last generation, indeed we are going to be waxing worse and worse. And can you imagine how bad it will be if we are worse in the next generation than we are in this generation?
Well, this has been going on for about four generations now. Now, the number to call if you'd like to get in on the conversation is 1-855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. It's a toll-free number. One of our chat box men has given us a pretty good comment. He says, "This country has too many lawyers that are redefining words to fit certain agendas and then teaching this as fact and not opinion. We have a nation of people that have been made victims of this teaching over a period of time." And I think the right word is being used there. We have been victimized by holding the truth away from the people.
Exactly. And we're going to talk a lot about it this week and the weeks to come.
Yes.
And it all gets back to the silencing of God, the silencing of the truth. And David, the truth is what's going to set us free.
No doubt. Absolutely no doubt.
And when we think about this idea of dedication to family, in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, there we see that Abraham commanded his children mm-hmm. to be faithful. Until fathers and parents as a whole take charge of their family and demand certain things of them, things aren't going to get any better.
Well, and you know, they've got to be right according to God,
exactly.
not right according to the toughest man on the block,
exactly.
but right according to God. And God has got to be the standard bearer for that which is right or wrong. And so when we look at this, we've got to go with what God has said and not with what man has said. And that gets back to our motto. Caller? We have a caller on the line. Would you give us your first name and your comment, please?
Yes, I'm Steve.
Yes, Steve.
I'm bedridden, got dyslexia. I listened to y'all last week, and you did a fantastic series on the Constitution and what the Founding Fathers thought. However, I'm trying to tell you where the seedling came from. If you go to the first 13 colonies, they each had their own constitution. That's where the seed of our Constitution came from. It stated anywhere from that you had to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You had to be in good standing in the church. You couldn't be a doctor. You couldn't be a lawyer. That's where our Constitution came from. And when you guys were talking about it last week, I said, gosh, but you don't give the numbers out. My dyslexia, I pushed B, you know, A, B, I pushed it twice. I couldn't get you. I want to throw the number in there for an old veteran. But, yeah, my dad was Colonel Jim Ammerman, co-founder and president at the time of CFGC. They've got over 500 non-denominational chaplains in the armed forces, military. But, yeah, if you go back to the 13 colonies, now, when you get the separation of church and state, that was an ambassador of ours. I believe he was in France at the time, and there was a Baptist group up northeast that was afraid that they were going to come up with a religion as England was doing, one denomination. And he wrote them back, there will be a separation of government and state. That's where that came from. You can verify it. Mm-hmm. Getting older now, don't have the exact stuff. Oh, he also became president later, so that ought to help you on
Thomas Jefferson. Yeah, it was Tommy.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you. God bless you. So that's where that came from. Before, you had to go to the church, and the church told you, you know, this guy, he's good, he's bad. No, we didn't have the separation of 5023, you know, 501 non-denominational until Johnson came along. President Johnson was getting bad-mouthed so much in the pulpit that he's the one, he got on the disability funding, you know, non-denominational committee, and he's the one that pushed that, saying anybody that bad-mouths me, anybody, me, in the church pulpit loses their disability tax-free status. Johnson's the one that put that in, and that can be verified, too. But you guys are doing a great time out here tonight, and I'm listening to you, and you're saying a bunch of good stuff. I just wanted to give you a couple dry bullets to shoot back at.
Okay, well thank you very much. And by the way, Steve, we appreciate your service in the military as well. Thank you so much for serving this country.
It was 20 years after I came home before I ever heard those words, so they're very dear to me now when I hear them.
All right. Keep up the good work, Steve.
Thank you for calling. Great call, Steve. Thank you for the information.
You know, it's important for us to really realize that, you know, it gets back to if you will read what they said mm-hmm. instead of what people said they said.
Amen.
And, you know, we get to the truth on these matters. And David, that's going to be true through this whole series of lessons, the silencing of God, our relationship to God. We need to read what the truth of the matter is. And the truth of the matter is that our founding fathers has never prohibited the exercising of religion or God in a public fashion, whether it be in our schools, in our government buildings. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, our nation was founded on these very principles. And so we're trying to show ways to bring people back to that idea. And we need to be first, you know, be involved in self-examination, dedicate or rededicate ourselves to God, We need to be involved in bringing our families back to God.
Mm-hmm.
But David, also another powerful avenue that we have that sometimes I think we neglect is that of prayer.
Yes, it is. And when we look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, we are exhorted by the Holy Spirit through Paul as he writes to Timothy. And he tells him there in verse 4, let's just look at verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now, we don't have a king in this land, but we do have leaders, and we do have people in authoritative positions, and we need to pray for them. We really do. But also, under that same thought, we have a lot of immoral leaders who have lied to the people that need to be taken out of office. We need to pray that we, along with God, would hold up the hands of the righteous individuals that are representing the righteousness of this country, and that God and we both could strike down the immoral element, the evil element that is leading this country down the primrose path of Satan's side of the fence.
Exactly. And David, prayer is vital in all this. But if we can pray all day long, but if we're not doing our part in the situation.
Amen.
And that really leads us into our next thought and the solution. And that is, we need to be involved in our political system. Political participation is important. You know, David, many say that politics and religion do not mix. Now, when I'm in Hamilton and preaching and I say something that I know is wrong to let the people see it, I'll say, you know what the Greek word for that is? And they know what I'm going to say. It's hogwash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not what our founding fathers believed. Our nation was founded upon biblical principles, and so why should not Christians be involved in politics and in trying to elect people who are going to bring about Christian principles and not be involved in the silencing of God?
Well, you know, I made a comment in a sermon that I preached yesterday, I do believe it was, about this individual that was that I was having a conversation with, and this individual told me, you know, we were talking about how that we needed to elect men and or women who had Christian principles and the righteousness of God behind them to be our representatives. I am so tired, and so is most of the people of this country, so tired of electing people that say that they're going to represent you and then don't represent you. And she was telling me, I said, oh, and then there is my brother who happens to vote for everybody that was ever for the abortion of babies. Oh, but he's a good Christian. Well, you can't have it both ways. You are either for the principles of the righteousness of God, and you do this through your political appointees and representatives, or you're not, and you're on the other side of the fence.
Exactly. And, you know, in our small town scenario, sometimes we have sheriffs or a mayor who will run under a Democratic platform, and perhaps not aware what their platform is all about. They may be good, honest people, but I'm not going to vote for them if they're running on a Democratic platform because of their beliefs with regard to abortion and things of that nature. I will not vote for that kind of person.
Well, and neither should anyone else. And you know, when we look back at history, we look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, which said, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, there is a glaring passage there about King Jehoshaphat. Now, we just got through talking about praying for kings and those that are in authority. Well, here they were under the leadership of a king, and Jehoshaphat is the name of the king, and he's being excoriated by Jehu, and he said to the king, Jehoshaphat, should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? And the answer to that is no. And because he was helping the ungodly and loving them that hated the Lord, it says, therefore, the wrath is going to be upon you from the Lord. And this is kind of what is happening in this country. The wrath of the Lord is upon us because we have hated those that love the Lord from a political standpoint, and we have loved those that are ungodly.
You know, and Jehu was saying of Jehoshaphat, you doing some good things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got rid of Ashtaroth, and you've done some good things, but there are some things that you have left undone that need to be taken care of. Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your first name and your question or comment, please.
Are you recording?
Am I a recording?
No, you're live.
Oh, okay. I was just going to tell you, your show coming out on radio in Stephenville, first 20 minutes, the audio was all messed up.
Uh-oh.
They're not streaming it at all. And I called at 6:15 and 6:24. You weren't accepting calls, but you took a call at 6:24 from somebody else.
Huh.
I don't know how that happened, but
anyway, what's your name?
And you need to give your Facebook address again, because you did it so quickly nobody could understand it. And your Twitter.
Well, Twitter, okay, I'll do it. We'll also...
But all the radio stations, their streaming stopped. You can't listen to it on your show.
Which station are you listening to?
Stephenville.
Which one?
KWBY.
KWBY, okay. Okay, we will... We will try to get that fixed just as soon as we possibly can. What is your name?
Well, they have a lot of glitches there, so I don't know.
Okay.
Well, anyway, I'm just letting you know about that.
Okay.
I don't want to go on that anymore. It's too frustrating now.
Okay.
But if you could give your face, is it Harrison Moore?
Yes, sir.
Harrison Moore. Check us out. Harrison Moore, and also Harrison Moore on Twitter. You can check us out both ways. Harrison Moore.
Yeah, but that on Facebook or Twitter, Harrison Moore, that's a generic name.
Well, you'd never find
which one it was.
You'll be surprised. If you just type in Harrison Moore, one word, you'll find us on Facebook and Twitter.
And you'll find us on the web also, harrisonmoore.org.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much for calling.
Uh-huh.
You know, Dan, we talk about political participation and how important it is. We see a case where Jehoshaphat was being in big trouble from Jehu because he was not getting involved like he ought to. He might have been doing some good things, but not doing enough. And so we need to ask ourselves, David, are we empowering the wicked by our lack of participation?
Well, there's absolutely no doubt about it. I mean, the counterpoint of this is the other side of the fence, on Satan's side of the fence, you have the voices loud and clear there, and they are making enough noise that they're getting all of the political attention, and those of us who are trying to stand for right that just think that we ought not to say anything because politics and religion don't mix, we don't get anything. Caller, give us your name and your comment, please.
Well, howdy, y'all. My name is Rusty from beautiful downtown Ranger Hill.
Rusty from Ranger. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Hey, well, first of all, I can pick y'all up just fine.
But, great.
Are you listening to us on the radio?
Yeah, I'm sitting here in my pickup.
What station are you listening to?
KATX out of Eastland.
Okay. Right.
That's my favorite radio station. You know, all this political climate that we're going through, hey, look, it's not our fault. We don't have a choice, do we? I mean, do we have a choice to what we have to listen to? No. We got to listen to this rhetoric. Well, now, there's truth and there's lies. Pretty much, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You got one side of the fence on each one of them.
Yes. And I don't know how a Christian, I mean, somebody believes in God and the Word of God and Jesus Christ who saved us. I don't see how a person that absolutely gave their life to Christ can vote Democrat. I don't see it.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people that try to justify what they do when there is no justification for what they do. When you look at the platform and you look at the platform and what the platform stands for, you've got to understand that there is unrighteousness and there is righteousness. There's truth and there's lies, and there's the side of God and the side of man or Satan, and you're either going to be voting on one side or the other, Rusty. Don't you agree?
Well, see, I don't understand how a person can deceive themselves into saying it's okay for me to vote for a bunch of people that want to kill babies in the womb or half hanging out of the womb, and that there's people that's going to justify and love and accept homosexual marriage and call themselves Christians. I just don't understand that.
Well, they obviously do not understand the Word of God. They have not given themselves over to the Word of God. And it kind of goes back to what we first talked about, Rusty, when we're talking about 3, 4, 5 generations of kids that are absolutely and totally removed from God, whose parents, whose grandparents, whose great-grandparents didn't have God in their lives, and now they're 3, 4 generations down the road. These individuals don't know what the Bible says. They know what somebody told them the Bible said, but they don't know what the Bible has to say. And that's the reason we keep repeating this motto: you've heard what men have had to say, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. And if you put what God has to say up against what you're talking about, there is no sense in what you are saying at all. It makes no sense, and there's no justification for it.
Well, see, that's what, and I agree with you, you're talking basically what the Roman Catholic Church is saying: believe what I say, not what you read. I do not know how many times I've read that Bible, and I'm not just talking about the King James. I've read the New World Translation. Yeah, the Jehovah's Witness Bible. Those people are going to hell. I've read the Living Bible. I've read the Catholic Bible. I've read every. I'm trying to get a hold of every Bible I can get a hold of to read it, to see just exactly how they word that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And I study this, and like I said, I don't know how many times I've read this, and these people that are trying to tell me what the Bible says have never read the Bible.
You're absolutely
right. Not even one verse. They say, well, you know, they can quote one verse, or maybe they can refer you to one chapter of one book, but if they was to sit down and read one chapter out of a Stephen King novel, and then go to a book club and say, you know what, I don't like that book. Or, you know what, I do like that book. They can't discuss the book.
We're right.
They don't know what they're talking about. You're talking about critics that have never read the book.
Mm-hmm. And therein lies the whole problem.
My frustration... That's my frustration. It's people trying to tell me what the Bible says, and they've never read the Bible. And that's why I rely on you guys once a week, Monday evenings, 6 to 7. And that's why I listen to y'all.
Well, thank you, Rusty. We appreciate
that. And I really appreciate the free advertisement right there, Rusty.
Rusty.
Oh, well, hey. Checks in the mail, right?
That's right.
Rusty has a great call. We appreciate you calling. Appreciate you listening. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. You just keep on calling in and keep on listening. We appreciate you a lot.
You know, David, it's important for us to really focus on, in our nation, to focus on biblical principles. Mm-hmm. And we can do this and still be politically active. And that's the key. Edmund Burke said, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And David, all that is needed for the silence of God to take place is for Christian men and women to do nothing.
Just to back off and let it happen. And you know, the only alternative to our system. We have a wonderful system in place in the United States of America where we can actually pick people to represent our way of thinking, our way of doing, and our way of life. The problem comes when you think you've got somebody, you send him up to Washington, D.C., and he doesn't do what he said he was going to do. And so we try to ferret out the individuals through a political process and finally end up voting. But we're going to have to vote people who understand the righteous principles of God.
Exactly.
And if we don't, and if they don't understand, it's kind of like Rusty said, you know, people have heard what the Bible has said, but they never read what the Bible said. People have heard what God has said, but they never really read what God has said. And if we don't know what is the business of God, then we'll never know how to rule a people.
Exactly right. And you know, David, it's interesting to me that the Bible gives us some insight into the kind of people that we ought to be voting for. As a matter of fact, in Exodus chapter 18, in verse 21, where Moses' father-in-law was telling him the kind of people that he ought to be looking for to help him in leading the people, he says there in Exodus 18 and verse 21, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating unjust gain, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten." Here we see a very important principle, David.
Mm-hmm.
That for us in our political voting, they need to be men who fear God and men of truth. We don't want anybody leading us as president, as governor, or in the Senate, House of Representatives.
Or on the school board.
Exactly, who do not believe in God, who are not men in truth, not men who fear God. You know, these are important attributes to a good political leader.
We ought to be looking for righteous men and women who would fear displeasing God.
Exactly.
And once we get that kind of established, we're okay. Now, when we look at Proverbs 29 and verse 2, we have some wonderful advice here from the Holy Spirit. He says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn." Verse 4, "The king by judgment establishes the land, but he that receives gifts, he overthrows it." Now, I have a hard time understanding what's the difference between bribery and lobbying myself. I think it's just a terminology thing here that we get into that really... a changing of terminology again. You know, we've talked about this on several different programs at several different times, and we'll talk about it again. But when you change terminologies, and lobbyists can pay my representative to change his mind, I don't look at it as lobbying. I look at it as bribery myself. I have just as much right to send a person up there to represent me as anybody, but I don't have the money to pay him to undo do what he told me he believed, and I wouldn't do it if I could.
And how would that work, David, if, you know, whoever pays the most on both sides gets the vote?
Evidently.
You know?
Evidently.
We're talking here about a man of righteousness. A man of righteousness who's leading in a righteous way is not going to be given to that type of scenario.
Well, it, you know, it's just like like Rusty was talking. You know, you got we've got to support the men and women that are on God's side of the fence.
Exactly.
And we cannot afford to have a fence straddler anywhere, because the fence belongs to Satan's side. You got to get completely off of that fence. And this is the big problem that we have. We have very few people that have the guts to get up there and say and do and mean what he says without backing off of it.
Exactly. And so, David, we decide who our political leaders are. And we decide by getting involved in the political participation. We need to be involved politically by mm-hmm. our voting. But, David, we cannot just vote blindly or vote straight along party lines. We need to investigate our candidates. We ought not to vote based on budget or welfare system or tax reform or health care. What we need to vote on is a vote concerning moral issues.
The righteousness of God.
Because righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14 and verse 34.
Well, we've got a point made here on the chat box. Says when you mix religion with politics, you get politics. Not necessarily. When you mix religion with politics, you get righteousness. If you take it out to its ultimate conclusion.
Exactly. You know, we need to use God's word as a standard, and we're helping that standard to push the political area in our government in the right direction. That's not politics. That's righteousness.
Right, and it's an issue. It is a spiritual issue. It's not a political issue. It is a spiritual issue. And just like God said in Proverbs 14 and 34, righteousness exalts a nation. That's a spiritual issue. The nation is the political end of it, but it's a spiritual issue. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin, that's another spiritual issue, is a reproach to any nation.
So you're saying there then, David, and I agree, that Proverbs 14 verse 34 says we should mix religion and politics, right?
We better mix religion and politics, or we're going to end up with a country that is godless and no fear of God whatsoever.
Righteousness exalteth a nation. Psalm 119, verse 172 says, God's word is righteousness, as also is taught in Romans 1 and verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot have righteousness without God's word, and religion, true religion, is all around God's word. And so religion and politics do mix, but it's got to be according to God's word. A lot of times, men put in their own ideas, right?
Right, and that's where we got to be careful. And we certainly want to encourage everybody to do their very best to find out what is the righteous individual and how it is that these individuals need to be have their hands held up and promoted, regardless of where they come from. If they can represent the God-fearing Christian principles that this country was founded on, that's the kind of individual we need representing us. Now, America didn't get fixed overnight. It's time to be steadfast, Tom, and we will not be changed overnight. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't give up. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so we've got to look in the Lord. We've got to look in the righteousness that we've got to work with here, and work from that standpoint. And we've got several comments on the chat box. We're going to run out of time here, Tom. Let me, if I may, if you got a chance, maybe you when we get through here, we've got to mention our additional sponsors. We can't go through this program without mentioning our additional sponsor, because if we didn't have these sponsors, we couldn't be on. You may notice we don't have commercials. This is all funded by people that believe in the truth and people that want to hear what the Bible has to say. We have a sponsorship from Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas. The De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas supports us. The Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin. The Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas. The Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. The Ninth and Main, a congregation of the Church of Christ in San Angelo. The Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas. The Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. And we have several individual donors that make great contributions to this program so that we can be on the air at least 1 hour of uninterrupted time. And we want to thank all of these sponsors for being with us and staying with us throughout this. Tom, if you can respond to some of those comments very quickly, we'll turn it over.
One speaker talks. We got a caller?
We went off there.
Okay. Well, we got a couple of things there that are mentioned. We need to get Christian people involved in politics, and many of them running for office as a Christian. That's kind of difficult these days, David, but we need to be involved as Christians in politics. And I don't know if I misunderstand the other one here, but one person said that they don't vote. They hadn't voted in the last presidential elections. I think we should always vote, even if we don't agree with the...
Go ahead.
You know, we've got to believe that we're going to do the right thing no matter what. And it's all about getting involved in the political world. And we've got to do it from a Christian political standpoint. You know, we're seeing Psalm chapter 33 and verse 16. There is no king saved by the multitude of hosts. Verse 12 of that same chapter says, blessed is a nation whose God is Jehovah. You know, so we've got to put God back in our nation, and the silencing of God has to be stopped. Now, David, our motto in our life and in our nation has to be, in God we trust. We have to continue to focus on that very thing.
Well, you know, Tom, one thing, and then we're going to have to wrap this up. God has given us the promise. Mm-hmm. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, he tells his apostles, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. There is the promise. Now, all we've got to do is trust in the promise. We've got it on every single coin that ever went through our hands. In God we trust. Don't you forget it. We want to thank all of the people for listening in, for those that wrote in on the chat box, and for those who called in. And next week we're going to start our relationship with God and how this has to deal and work with this conspiracy behind silencing God. You have heard what men have had to say. Now let's listen to what the Bible has to say. Tom?
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. We look forward to you listening in again next Monday at 6 p.m. God bless you as you do His will.
Praise Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
No.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
Great is thy faithfulness.